From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When financial affairs have spun out of control, filing bankruptcy is an option, but typically a last resort. Recent research published as Graying of U.S. Bankruptcy, Fallout from a Life in a Risk Society, reveals that a growing number of adults 65 and older are choosing bankruptcy as their best option. Professor Deborah Thorne is a principal investigator for the Consumer Bankruptcy Project.
We've transferred the risk on to individuals and away from the government and corporations. And those are risks that it seems that people are just unable to manage in their older years.
Then we ask Helen Renault of the nonprofit GuideWell Financial Solutions how to avoid monetary crisis and stress, all on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. When financial affairs have spun out of control, filing bankruptcy is an option, but typically a last resort. Who files for bankruptcy, and what are the factors that tend to lead them to that dire outcome? Recently published research reveals some surprising answers to those questions. It shows that while the rate of bankruptcy filing among young debtors has slowed, a growing number of adults 65 and older, instead of enjoying peace in their golden years, are mired in unmanageable debt and scrambling to earn more money. Later in the show, we'll hear from the president and CEO of GuideWell Financial Solutions to learn about ways to avoid financial crisis and stress. Joining us now is Deborah Thorne, associate professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at the University of Idaho. Thorne has devoted more than two decades to studying economic inequality, debt, and consumer bankruptcy. She's a principal investigator for the Consumer Bankruptcy Project, and she co-wrote the paper Graying of U.S. Bankruptcy, Fallout from Life in a Risk Society. Welcome to On the Record, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So give us some background on the Consumer Bankruptcy Project. How long has data collection been taking place?
Data collection for the Consumer Bankruptcy Project, or the CBP, has been originated back in 1981. And initially it was data collected every 10 years, then it shortened up to every 5 years, and now we're collecting data every 3 months. So it's, and largely that's due to technology, so our ability to collect data has gotten much easier.
And what kinds of questions do you ask?
Always central to our data collection would be demographic questions, because one thing we do want to know is trends over time. We want to be aware of those. So age, education, marital status, number of children, and the court records don't collect those data points with the exception of number of children. So that's why we collect those data. We also ask reasons for filing, things that they had to go without, hardships in the years prior to filing, how long they postponed filing for bankruptcy. So a range of questions.
So tell us the key findings from the paper you published.
The key finding is, of course, the significant increase in the rate of filing among older folks. So the rate within the U.S. population per 1,000 among older folks has gone up about twofold. And then their representation within bankruptcy court. So if you look at just the bankrupt population, it's gone up 4.5 to 5 times. And that's regardless of the aging boomer population. That's only a very small portion of the increase. So that only explains a small segment, right, of that increase. So there are other things going on. And the other things that are going on, which are really tragic for people who are in their approaching or in their retirement years, the reason they're filing, and this is based on their responses to self-administered questionnaires, is medical problems. These tie for first. costs of health care, medical problems, and a decline in income. So we know that this would suggest that Medicare isn't adequate for this group, not able to meet all of the expenses. The other thing this suggests is that they're going into their retirement and they just don't have enough resources. Now, we do know that when they go into bankruptcy, they are about $17,000 in negative wealth. In other words, they owe $17,000 in debt, more than they have in assets. That is not the way to be going into your retirement years, because what this means is you have no wealth. And as we all know, it's our wealth that sustains us for that last couple decades of our lives.
You have just put a whole lot on the table. Let me remind our listeners that this is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Deborah Thorne, Associate Professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at the University of Idaho. We're talking about trends in bankruptcy filings in the U.S., particularly among older adults. So the very first result you told us about, you said a twofold increase. In other words, since this kind of data has been collected, you said, I think, since 81?
Our data point for comparison is 91.
Since 91, the number of Americans older than age 65, the rate of Americans older than 65 filing for bankruptcy has doubled. And then you also pointed us to that older adults make a much bigger proportion of those in bankruptcy. Why is that important for us to understand?
Because it suggests a really powerful social trend. And that social trend suggests, or the social trend I believe that we're seeing, is what Jacob Hacker, in his book, The Great Risk Shift, talks about. This financial risk is being shifted from corporations and government, employers and government, onto individuals. So, for example, we've had pensions in the past. Those are virtually non-existent.
Pensions where your monthly
retirement
benefit was defined. Now, if you have anything, it's a 401k, which varies with how you invested it, how good your investment decisions were.
Yes, and if you had anything to invest, right? So we used to have defined benefits. Now we have defined contributions. What we retire with is no longer guaranteed. And it's subject to downturns in the stock market if that's where most of your retirement account is. So we've transferred the risk of being in financial risk of being in retirement onto individuals and away from the government and corporations. And those are risks that it seems that people are just unable to manage in their older years. That's what we believe that this trend represents. Is this financial risk is being shifted onto older people. And the pickle that I think we're in is we're hearing discussions about the possibility of reducing Medicare and reducing Social Security. So at one time, Social Security would make up about 40% of your pre-retirement income, and it's not anywhere near that anymore. So if the government continues to introduce policies, implement policies that reduce affordable health care for older people, Medicare, and diminish Social Security, it is pretty likely that this trend that we observed in bankruptcy since 91 will continue the same. I would expect it will get worse.
Let me ask a kind of devil's advocate question. You pointed out that I think you said of those filing, of those filing for bankruptcy over age 65, they have a negative net worth. They have a debt of $17,000. And yet your paper also points out that the far larger group that doesn't file for bankruptcy have quite a bit of assets. Tell us about that.
Yes. What we did was we compared our sample, folks 65 and over in bankruptcy, with their counterparts in the U.S. population who have not filed for bankruptcy. And the non-bankrupt folks are going into retirement with, I think, about a quarter million dollars. somewhere around there, 225, somewhere around there, in assets.
So could one argue then that this devolution of risk onto individuals is working out well for a lot of people?
It's working out well for some. And the other side of that coin, though, is it's not working out for an increasing percentage of U.S. Americans. And what we have to decide is, are we interested in supporting and caring for more older folks? Or are we just going to say, well, sink or swim, I hope that you're one of those who do well? And our research suggests that there's a growing proportion of the older population that is unable to manage their older years.
I want to get back to your research, your questioning mm-hmm. of people about why they filed, what pushed them into filing. You identified in particular unmanageable medical costs
yes.
and just generally a decline in income. Mm-hmm. And I imagine there were other reasons that you found in your survey. Of all of them, what seems to you most amenable to some kind of fix? What is If we can't fix the whole problem, what
yes.
part of this problem do you think we could fix?
Hands down, it's access to affordable health care. Hands down. So we know that, for example, the stories that people wrote, some of the things they're telling us is that their prescriptions are very expensive, the cost of their meds are very expensive in their later years, and they're simply not able to afford them, or a large portion of their retirement income is going to pay for their prescriptions. The other real pickle, medical pickle, that older people run into is a chronic illness. So, for example, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, terminal cancer. Those are kinds of expenses that just quickly have them drowning in debt. And even with Medicare and even with supplemental insurance, they still tell us that they're just absolutely unable to afford the costs. So I've been doing this research for over 20 years now, and the variable that keeps coming to the front again and again and again is the cost of health care, regardless of age group, but it's typically much more consequential for older folks because they have more limited income.
Does your research give you any insight into what happens to people after they file bankruptcy, whether it was the right decision for them?
Yeah. So I did some research back 6-7 years ago with Katie Porter, and one of our findings was that about 25% of people, all people, regardless of age, 2 years out, so it's not very long, right? We didn't follow them that long, but about 25% of them say that their financial circumstances are as bad or worse than the day they filed. So.
Wow.
Pretty bad. And the people who were most likely to report that were older people and people with chronic illnesses. And the reason is because it's really difficult for older folks to rebound. Bankruptcy, you know, touts the notion of a fresh start. And the goal is to relieve people from their debts so that they can re-enter the workforce unencumbered by these debts and reestablish themselves as successful people and recapture their wealth. That works, I think, when you're in your 40s, it's more likely. But when you're 65 years old, that's just not realistic. So my expectation is that when I do follow-up research with older folks who are a couple of years out of bankruptcy, my expectation is that things are not a heck of a lot better. The chronic illnesses that they had, those aren't gone. They were not able to re-enter the workforce because they're old. And many people who wrote their stories told us that they experienced age discrimination when they tried to get new jobs. So, tragically, they can't reestablish their wealth. So, yeah, for someone like myself, you know, I'm getting ready to start thinking about retirement, and it's scary because of the findings that I report frequently.
Deborah, thank you so much for walking us through this.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Deborah Thorne, Associate Professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at the University of Idaho, is a principal investigator for the Consumer Bankruptcy Project. We've been talking about findings in the study she co-wrote titled Graying of U.S. Bankruptcy, Fallout from a Life in a Risk Society. We have a link to the paper at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. Short break, and then we'll talk with the president of GuideWell Financial Solutions about options if you find yourself in a dire financial situation. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on the record.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the rising rates of bankruptcy among Americans age 65 and older. Those results were revealed in the paper Graying of U.S. Bankruptcy, Fallout from a Life in a Risk Society. With us now to talk about ways to avoid financial crisis and stress is Helen Renaud, President and CEO of GuideWell Financial Solutions, a nonprofit that offers financial counseling and debt management assistance. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Sheila.
GuideWell, which used to be called Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Maryland, provides lots of different services. Tell us about some of them.
Yeah, so we have been in the community for 52 years at this point. Your listeners know us as CCCS. We are really known to help and assist families, mostly low and moderate income families, with their credit card debt. But as time's gone by, you know, we obviously have adapted to consumers and their needs, and we now provide a wider range of services, including housing counseling, student loan debt counseling, bankruptcy counseling.
So you're really on the ground with people seeking financial counseling. What trends are you seeing?
What we're seeing is people's financial lives are more and more complicated, and people really have to control their financial lives, understand the financial system. The burden of planning is a lot more on them. I think we've heard that from your previous presenter. And really, people's budgets are tighter and tighter. I would say that the majority of the families we're working with really live paycheck to paycheck, more and more so.
Are you seeing a rise in senior citizens seeking counseling?
Yes. So this year only, we've served and worked individually with about 4,500 families. As I mentioned earlier, mostly low and moderate income. But the average age of our client is now 55 years old. And the majority of the individuals we are working with are heads of household, mostly women with children. And the majority of our clients are not ready for retirement, nowhere near being ready for retirement.
And are you also seeing seniors filing for bankruptcy?
Yes. So this year we've seen 4,500, as I said, clients. 600 of these individuals end up filing for bankruptcy. So almost 13% of our clients do file for bankruptcy, mostly Chapter 7. Chapter 7 is a full liquidation bankruptcy, where essentially you do not have the means to pay off your creditors or your debt, and therefore you end up being able to wipe out the majority of your debts, unsecured debts.
And the other chapter that consumers can sometimes go for is Chapter 13.
Chapter 13, which then is a reorganization case. In this case, you have to have sufficient income available to eventually get on a repayment plan. And the Chapter 13 takes 3 to 5 years approximately for somebody to pay off the majority of their debt.
But you're saying that most of your clients who do opt for bankruptcy opt for Chapter 7.
Yes. They're, if you want, in such a bad shape that they have really no disposable income, not sufficient income to be able to pay back their obligations and their unsecured debts.
How do you help people, especially senior citizens, approach that decision?
We don't make any suggestions or recommendations. What we're really here to help individuals do is take a look at their full financial picture. Everyone who comes to see us, whether they're seeking bankruptcy, housing counseling services, debt management, or just basic education, will go through a financial review, a comprehensive financial review, where we look at people's assets, income. We look at their current budget, and that's really, really key for people to understand not only how much money is coming in, but where their money is going. And then we provide recommendations and suggestions, including an action plan to everyone who comes in. And that's often where we can present different options. You know, there are alternatives to bankruptcy. Most people, in fact, can self-cure. A lot of people can get back on track if there is sufficient income, or if we can identify some benefits and programs and sometimes public assistance programs that might be available to be to supplement their income. We really do a thorough job of looking at people's expenses as well, and where can they cut? Is there any rooms for cutting down their expenses? People don't realize that, you know, even after retirement, you still need to probably make 70 to 80% of what you were making prior to retirement, this time of age.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to ask you, but, I mean, because oftentimes Social Security is a senior's main source mm-hmm. of income. I mean, is that what you see? We do.
I would say the majority of folks coming in are on fixed income. And what I mean by that is that they have a very limited amount of Social Security income, which they primarily rely on. And typically, it's between $800 and $1,200 a month, which is obviously not sufficient to cover the cost of living. So our message to folks is really plan early. Think about retirement, you know, early enough that you have time to budget, but also educate yourself and think a lot carefully about the kind of life you want to have post-retirement. What are you going to be able to afford? Where do you need to be by the time you get into retirement? We're also seeing more and more older adults still providing financial support to their children and grandchildren, not just helping them with their student loan debt, but helping them with day-to-day expenses, emergencies, which really is not something that they had planned to do.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Helen Renault, President and CEO of GuideWell Financial Solutions. We're talking about the fallout from filing for bankruptcy and ways to avoid financial crisis and stress. I've read about parents co-signing student loans. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
We do. And they're co-signing for their children, for their grandchildren. And obviously, when these kids either fall behind or default on some of their student loan, lenders can come after them.
Is bankruptcy really a clean slate, Chapter 7?
Chapter 7 can be a clean slate if you have time to recover eventually. Obviously, not all your debts are included in a Chapter 7 or wiped out in a Chapter 7. There are some debts that cannot be discharged, actually, in Chapter 7, like student loan debt, typically is not. Some medical debts might not be discharged either. I mean, it's not a very clean slate. But when we're talking about an older population, it's also then eventually much harder for these individuals to get back on track eventually.
A big majority of the seniors who answered the survey that we talked to Professor Thorne about, the Consumer Bankruptcy Project survey, said that hounding by debt collectors mm-hmm. was a factor in them deciding to file for bankruptcy. What can people do about debt collectors short of filing for bankruptcy?
Well, again, so there's different options. It's all about timing. The moment you start falling behind or the moment you start getting called to your collectors, we really encourage people to call a nonprofit credit counseling agency like ours or another financial nonprofit that can help you look at alternative solutions. There are ways that you can communicate with your creditors right from the get-go and tell them about your hardship or situations. They might be able to renegotiate some of the fees or to put you on a repayment plan. One service we offer to thousands of people a year is a debt management plan, where we help individuals fully repay their obligations. But what we do is we people enter a structured plan that takes them 3 to 5 years to pay off. It's called a debt management plan. What we do is renegotiate with every one of your creditors a payment, a single payment that is made to us every month, and then we guarantee the disbursement back and the full payment of the debt to the creditors. And that comes with us being able to eliminate late fees, to lower the interest rate on some of the credit cards, including medical debt, including auto loan debt. And so this is a product that's very, very effective in fully repaying your debt without really damaging your future financial life.
I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Helen Reno, President and CEO of GuideWell Financial Solutions, a nonprofit that offers financial counseling and debt management assistance. We've been talking about the fallout from filing for bankruptcy and ways to avoid financial crisis and stress. We have a link to more information and resources at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.